3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eighth strikeout for the King tonight, and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Hey, welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here as well. Boy, isn't the playoff chase fun? Oh, man, what a game that was yesterday. We're going to dive into that, get plenty of reaction after the Mariners beat the Oakland A's in a thrilling fashion, 2-1. Felix Hernandez, the King, was sensational. Man, he was great. A couple of long balls along the way as well. So we'll hear from all the players coming up about that ball game. Something very special, too, that I'm excited about coming up in this podcast. We're going to hear the first half inning of Seattle Mariners baseball in history with the play-by-play of Dave Niehaus, and also a very cool story from Neil Scott about how this even exists, because it was thought for a long time that the first game in Mariners history did not exist on tape. So that's going to come up in this podcast as well. We're going to hear from the newest Mariner, Carson Smith. Rookie, he made his very first appearance the other night in his very first ball game, major league debut. So we'll hear from Carson Smith coming up as well. So a lot to get to, but great day for the M's yesterday. Well, any day they win at this point is a great day, and that's exactly what they did. They beat Oakland and pulled that much closer. The Royals got a win, 4-1 over the Texas Rangers. That's who the Mariners play next, the Rangers, and we'll preview that four-game series coming up as well. Astros beat the Angels 4-1 yesterday. And of course, this was a big one as well. Cleveland knocking off the Detroit Tigers yesterday 7-0. As Justin Verlander, 6 2/3, 6 earned runs, gives up 9 hits again. His ERA sitting at 4.80 on the season. That's one to watch here down the stretch. Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-1 yesterday. So that's how it all unfolded yesterday. So here's what we're looking at in terms of standings. Angels still leading the West. The A's 4.5 back of the Angels. The Mariners 8 back of the Angels. And 3.5 back of the Oakland A's. It's pretty remarkable when you think about how far the Mariners have come in such a short period of time. It wasn't all that long ago that the Mariners were 11 games back. In fact, on August 9th, the Mariners were 11 games back of the Oakland A's. Since then, the Mariners have gone 14-8. Oakland has gone 7-16. And now just 3.5 back. And these teams, next week in a Safeco Field, going to square off for three. How much fun is that going to be from the safe? First things first, though, Texas coming up, and we'll get to that in a moment. Wild card standings, the Mariners just trailing by half a game to the Tigers. Cleveland 4 back of Detroit for the second wild card. The Yankees 4 back. Toronto 4.5 back. But the Mariners right there sitting a half game back. Detroit plays Cleveland one more tomorrow before the Mariners advance to play the Texas Rangers tomorrow. So we'll talk about that again in a moment. But let's recap what happened with Felix Hernandez on the hill. You know, I talked about it in the podcast yesterday. Everyone's been talking about it. Very anxious to see Felix Hernandez take the mound after struggling his last time out, giving up a career-high 4 home runs. I talked about it on the podcast yesterday. I was pretty optimistic that we would see the King, Felix Hernandez. And boy, did we see the King, Felix Hernandez.
The pitch, and it is strike three called. He gets fold looking on 3 straight pitches. So a fastball from Felix Hernandez right there at the knees, and one away for the A's, and already strikeout number one for Felix. The windup, and again the 2-2. It is strike three called, a fastball at the knees. And Felix Hernandez with his second strikeout of the afternoon, 2 down for the Athletics.
And then a little bit of history, too, for Felix Hernandez in the second inning.
The pitch swung on, ground ball right at Cano at second. He's got it. Easy toss to first in time to get Vogt, and that's it for the A's in the bottom of inning number two. No runs, one hit, and a man left on, and Felix Hernandez has reached the 200 innings pitch level for the seventh consecutive season.
That's remarkable. Seven straight seasons of 200-plus innings. How about this, too? Six straight of 200-plus innings, 200-plus strikeouts. There's no major league pitcher in baseball right now, no active pitcher that has more than five total. I mean, forget about six straight. We're talking about five total, and Felix has done it for 6 years in a row. 200-plus, 200-plus. Dynamite stuff from the King, Felix Hernandez. Although he would give up a long ball early in this one in the fourth inning. Of course, it was Adam Dunnigan going yard.
Here's the 3-2. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Down the line, high in the air, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Just fair down the right field line. Adam Dunn with his second home run as an Athletic. And his 22nd of the season, and it now gives the A's a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the fourth inning.
Yeah, that was a big blast by Adam Dunn. He's been a pretty big problem in this series. Slammed a home run his first at bat as an Oakland A. Picked up a hit yesterday coming off the bench, and then crushes one there for a home run against Felix Hernandez. 1-0 Oakland A's, and boy, John Lester, of course, was dealing as well. He ended up pitching a great ball game. As we go to the seventh inning, Mariners trying to find a way to punch one across against John Lester, and it was. It was Kyle Seager. It's been so sensational for the Mariners, coming through when they needed it in a big, big way.
Lester comes home swinging a high rocket right field. This sends Reddick chasing it back onto the warning track. Reddick looks up, and it's onto the stairwell for a home run. Kyle Seager knots this game up. What a piece of the seventh, 22nd home run of the season. That ties a single season career high, and it could not have come at a better time for Kyle Seager.
Oh, beautiful time for Seager. A wonderful time for the Mariners to tie up the score. And right after that home run, thanks to a question on Twitter at DB Kessler asking, so what has Kyle Seager been hitting since April 23rd? Which is a great question, because that's when he had the walk-off and really got things scorching. Since then, after that home run, batting .294 with 22 long balls and 84 RBIs. He has simply been one of the best hitters in the American League, going yard there in a big, big way. And then Corey Hart, I mean, talk about pushing all the right buttons for Lloyd McClendon. Corey Hart, next batter.
Pitch to Hart, he swings and rips it down the left field line. This is ticketed for the fence, gone into the seats. That pitch was pummeled by Corey Hart. Oh, he smoked it. That was driven right into the breeze here at the Coliseum. Corey Hart takes his time. He touches third base. He'll come around the line and score as the Mariners go back-to-back off of John Lester. And the M's lead the A's suddenly 2-1 to the seventh inning. That was a shot.
Hey, you want to hear something really weird about that, too? So they take the lead 2-1, which is huge. Corey Hart had not hit a home run for the Mariners since May 7th. In Oakland with Felix Hernandez on the hill, and it was game three of that series, and it gave the Mariners the lead. How weird is that? It was just the same scenario, except this time it's September, and you know what September baseball means. Corey Hart, man, a big, big home run there. He was hitting it in Tacoma. He was really stroking it in Tacoma. And that was a big, big home run for the Mariners. They take the lead. Fernando Rodney comes on the ninth to close it down.
Rodney looks in, looking for the final out. Here is the stretch. And the 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Strike three, got him with a changeup, and this ball game is over. The Mariners win at a final score of 2-1 this afternoon here in Oakland. And they win the series 2-1. Felix Hernandez, absolutely outstanding, gets his 14th win of the year. He's now 14-5, and for Fernando Rodney, he picks up save number 41.
Fernando Rodney was awesome. 41 saves now on the season. That is second most in Mariners history. And he's got Sasaki in his sights. He had the record in 2001 and just a handful away from there. Consider this, though, with Rodney. 126 saves in his last 3 years. That is second only to Craig Kimbrell of the Braves. He's had 133. So that's what Fernando Rodney has done at the back end of bullpens. He closes this one down with no margin for error here in a one-run ball game. He was very sharp. But the story, Felix Hernandez, the king, 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. The king has dominated Oakland down through the years, and he did it once again in perhaps the biggest game he's ever pitched, just in terms of everything that was on the line. And Felix, after the game, really happy about his outing, as he should be.
I feel good today. I mean, it was a little different than the last game. I mean, I was more calm. I was on the strike zone, and that was different.
Why were you more calm out there?
I was not rushing the play to the plate. I'm just calm and trying to make good pitches.
Is this something you looked at in between starts, or is that something that you were able to determine in the last start?
Oh, yeah.
Going on?
Yeah, there's something in the last start. I was too fast to the plate. I was staying in the middle the whole time. Today I was on the strike zone and I was hitting the corners.
Getting ready for this game, going up against this team that are ahead of you. What did this game, you know where your team is right now, what did this game mean to you?
It means a lot for the whole thing. I mean, we came here to win the series and that's what we do. And, you know, I'm going to against Leicester, I know it's going to be tough, so I just got to make good pitches.
How much do you love it? You know, in order to win this series and go up against John Lester?
It's special. I mean, it was a good game.
What's it just the feeling you're pitching in a race now? You haven't done that a whole lot.
It feels great. It feels really good. Telling is fun. It's fun to do that.
Hey, one mistake to done or not? I mean, I
try to go in. I don't think it was in enough, and it was in the middle. So.
Everything else? Anything else missed?
No.
I don't think it didn't.
No, anything else was fine. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy. So this game for my wife. This is birthday today. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice present.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you call her since you come out of the game yet?
Not yet. I'm calling this morning.
Did you say I'm going to get a win for you?
Yep. That's what I said.
You've pitched for a while now, but you almost appreciate the kind of success you guys are having now just because you've been a pitcher for a while now, and like you said, all these games mean so much.
I mean, all the credit, I'm going to give it to Lloyd. Lloyd came here this year, and he's doing an unbelievable job. And our guys, they're always together. I mean, this was clubhouse fun.
He does things a little differently.
Yeah.
Is it easy now just to, okay, Lloyd?
Easy. He's fun. I mean, he let you play, so he's a good guy.
The King, Felix Hernandez, coming off just a brilliant start. And Mariner fans, I know you want to see more of that down the stretch. Just a huge, huge outing for Felix Hernandez. And, of course, Kyle Seager swatting the big home run. He had 3 hits in the ballgame, 3 of the Mariners' 8 hits. Coming up big. Really impressive, too. I mean, consider John Lester is outstanding. I mean, he has been on a huge roll for Oakland. It really started in Boston, but he has been an ace. He's been not only one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball, but just one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's been that good, and he's really tough on lefties. It's why you saw Lloyd McClendon. I mean, he went right-handed heavy in the lineup. He found as many right-handed hitters as he possibly could. Lester this year had given up 1 home run to a left-handed hitter before Kyle Seager took him deep. 1 home run to a left-handed hitter. And Kyle Seager takes one out. Very impressive stuff.
Big win for you guys today. Obviously, you know coming in, it's a big pitching matchup. And Felix is on the hill. Lester is on the hill. Tough go early, but you're able to get to him late. What did you see as this game went on?
You knew as soon as we get started here, you know, coming into this game, it's going to be a battle, you know, between the two guys. And, you know, they definitely, you know, lived up to that. You know, Felix threw the ball great. You know, even though the 1 run they scored looked like it was a pretty good pitch. You know, just was able to keep it fair. But, you know, he threw the ball great. And, you know, fortunately enough, we were able to get a few in that one inning. And, you know, that was enough.
You get things going. You get the 3-0 count. You take a big cut there. And then it's 3-1. What did you see there?
You know, basically kind of the same approach. You know, runs are kind of at a premium. So, you know, you get in a hitter's count. You know, you try to be aggressive with it. You know, I've fouled the one pitch off, got a little big, and, you know, kind of settled it down a little bit and, you know, was able to get enough of it.
Corey Hart follows up with one of his own. You probably don't even see that. You're probably still in the dugout at that point.
Yeah, that was huge. That was huge, you know, just the momentum of it, you know, just to keep it going, you know, getting that extra run, getting Felix the lead, you know, that's big, you know, especially with, you know, Felix going in our bullpen, you know, you feel good about that.
This dugout's getting a little crowded, but these are guys that can help you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've used a lot of guys this far, and, you know, it's going to probably continue that way. You know, everybody that's, you know, is up here is, you know, can play, and you're gonna get used. So I mean, you go down the bench, and everybody kind of, you know, we know our roles, and we know everybody knows when to be ready, and you know, it's been a lot of fun.
It's all about series, and it's all about moving on to the next game. But this is a big series. You guys have got a winning record against Oakland. You saw two of their best on this trip. You were able to beat two of their best. How important is that this time of the year?
It's huge. You know, we know they're obviously ahead of us. You know, that's a team that we're looking up at right now. So, you know, you take two out of three, especially here, you know, that's a big win for us. And, you know, we'll go into Texas and hope to keep it going.
So Kyle Seager, big, big game, big, big season. He continues to bash in the middle of the lineup for the Mariners. Back to Felix Hernandez for a second. I thought Mike Blowers, after the ball game, had a pretty good breakdown of what he saw from the King.
I think, again, his command. I think overall, when you think of Felix, he has the great stuff, but I think his command today was exceptional. One of the things that I was talking about on the TV side before the game started is Felix has to get the ball down. Lately, it's been up a little bit, but he was down today. And I thought the other key was Dan Isonga, the home plate umpire. He was able – there was a couple of pitches that were at the bottom of the zone, and he called them strikes. If you watch the A's the first time through the lineup, they take a lot of pitches. This is a team that likes to walk. They like to hit home runs. And that's the reason why they're up there on base percentage and runs scored. And I think that Felix throwing first pitch strikes, Rick, early in the ball game was a big key because he forced the A's to do something they're not comfortable with, and that is to swing the bat early in counts. And even the home run he gave up, he located that pitch right where he wanted to. Adam Dunn just beat him to the spot. He wanted to have that pitch inside. He started it in off the plate. It ran right on the inside corner. And Dunn hit the home run. That's going to happen from time to time. But I thought he was in command of everything today. Had a good curveball. His changeup was excellent. Again, down in the zone with it. Just, you know, it's one of those things. He's special for a reason, Rick. And I think this is one of those reasons. We've seen him in the past.
Games.
Just, well, there's been some games. This is probably, in my mind, maybe not for Felix. But in my mind, I think for the organization, for the team and everything that's happening right now, this was probably the biggest game that he pitched. And he goes eight innings and gives up one run, the solo homer. That's it. He's special because he knew that Lester was on the other side. It was going to be a low-scoring game. Lester was terrific today, by the way. He really pitched well. But I just felt good about Felix today. And I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd come out and pitched the ninth. That's how good he was going today. So it was, they needed it. Back-to-back outings from their starters, that's been a big key of their success. Paxton last night, now Felix. The matchups look good in their favor going into Texas. This was a big win, though. When you think about the A's, 20 games over 500 at home this year going into this one, and a lot of those wins coming late into ball games, and they tried to snatch one back last night. Rodney picked up his 40 save. Today is 41st. This, give them a lot of credit. This is not an easy place to come in and win, especially when you're in September and you have to. But more importantly, 4.5 back of the A's. You have two teams in front of you, the Tigers and the A's, but you can only control one of them because you have four games left. The A's, and this was a big game because now you have three games at home against them. If you take care of it, they're hearing it right now. They feel it. They're not playing good baseball, and the Mariners are able to take care of it. I just thought it was big all the way around, and Felix was awesome today.
So there it is. Let the roll continue. The Mariners take 2 of 3 from Oakland in a big series, and now it's on to who's kind of been their nemesis, the Texas Rangers. Winning record against Oakland. They don't have a winning record against the Rangers this year. They'll look to change that in a big 4-game series starting tonight. So here's how it lines up. 5:05, first pitch from Texas. Roenis Elias will take the mound against Scott Baker. If you remember, Baker was in camp with the Mariners in spring training. He's 3-3, a 5.23 ERA on the season. Friday, again, first pitch, 5:05. Hisashi Iwakuma goes against the lefty Robbie Ross. And then Saturday, 5:05 again, Chris Young scheduled to take the mound against Nick Martinez, another righty. And then a lefty showdown on Sunday at noon, high noon, that's fitting, in Texas. James Paxton coming off a tremendous start against Derek Holland, who was awesome his first time out. He's pitched once this year. This will be his second turn. 1.29 ERA in just that one start. He was outstanding. So that's how the four-game series against the Texas Rangers lines up. Oh, looking forward to that. Make sure to join us 4 o'clock for the pregame show tonight. Guy who we might see pitch coming up in the series, I have a feeling that we are at some point in the four-game series. He's appeared once so far. Carson Smith, new Mariner, made his Major League debut the other night. Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with the newest M.
Thank you very much. It's definitely exciting to be here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So,
how did you find out that you were going to be coming here?
As I was doing my shoulder exercises after pitching yesterday, my pitching coach, Jamie Navarro, the bullpen coach from last year, came and grabbed me out of the training room. At that moment, I turned the corner and saw Corey Hart, Smoke, Romero, all of them walking into Skip's office. At that point, I had a good feeling of what was going on. So last night after the games when I found out.
Not a bad group to be a part of. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
I mean, it's something I've dreamt of my whole life. And, I mean, for it to actually finally come true, it's a great feeling. But obviously, just getting here is not satisfying. So hopefully I can contribute and help this team to the best of my ability.
We've been watching you for the better part of 2 years, and obviously you've done some good things. You get to Tacoma, and then you watch this bullpen, and nobody is stumbling. It looks like it's just kind of a tough thing to watch where there just weren't any openings this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to watch, I guess, if you're looking at it that way, but it's also fun to watch in my shoes. I mean, watching guys like Dom Leon, a young guy, get the job done early in the game, and then you have your veterans, Bimo, coming in, getting some clutch outs, and then obviously Fernando Rodney closing it down. It's been an exciting year for the bullpen up here.
Now you get to be a part of it, and a lot of these guys you got to know in spring training.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's nice to be a part of them. They're a bunch of good guys, and I'm excited to get to know them a little better.
How would you characterize your season this year?
It's had its up and downs, but I mean, I'm here today, so I got to say it's went well so far.
Make the jump from AA to AAA. What's the difference?
I mean, the batters they get a little older. Therefore, their presence at the plate is a little better. They have a little better approach. Some guys know when to attack. Some guys know when to be patient and wait for the pitch. So it's just been different facing older and veteran hitters.
What's the biggest thing you take from that prepares you for what you'll face now?
Oh, I mean, I just got to go out there and pitch my game. Nothing changes. I mean, the batters change. I mean, they're going to get better. I mean, as you move up, and I know there's a lot of good hitters out there, but I just got to do what I do best and stick to my game plan.
What are you curious to see? I mean, obviously you face big leaguers in spring training. You got a good dose of that, but what are you curious to see as far as reaction and what you do out there and how that plays?
I'm curious to get out there. And that first moment, I think it'll be a little. I'll be in awe the first out I get, whenever that may come. But I'm just ready to get out there and get going.
So this is the first time you walked out on this field just a couple minutes ago?
It is. Yeah, I've been to multiple major league parks when I was younger, just with my family. But this is the first time I've been to Oakland, and it's quite the scene.
You look out. What do you see?
It looks a lot like a football stadium, to be honest. But it's overwhelmingly big, and I'm excited to get to play here.
All right. Have you been given a speech or a talk by any of the other bullpen mates? I mean, they've got all sorts of rules. You're going to have to learn a lot of handshakes, and I'm sure there'll be a backpack involved.
I've been hinted on things here and there, but I don't think I've grasped fully what I'm about to walk into.
That's probably a good way to put it.
And now we're going to turn things over to Little Mariners history, which I think this is fantastic. So we're going to listen to the very first half inning of play-by-play in Seattle Mariners history. Now, the story of how this came about is pretty outstanding, too. Neil Scott, who has been in the Seattle area broadcasting for a long, long time, tells a great story about how this came to be, because there was a time that everyone thought this didn't exist. The recording of the very first Mariners broadcast did not exist. Here's Neil Scott with the answers to why it does, and how it does.
Well, I promised this conversation here is we had a chance to listen to some of the pregame show, and now the rest of this week we're going to listen to some innings from the very first broadcast in Seattle Mariners history. We have Neil Scott to thank. You know Neil Scott. He's been around for a long time in the Seattle area doing great work, national radio with Fox Sports, of course, at KGR. Neil, thanks so much for the time. We certainly appreciate it. And thank you so much for this wonderful recording.
Glad to be able to give that to you, Gary. It was a lot of fun to do.
This didn't exist. The station didn't have it. The Mariners didn't have it. It did not exist. How did you save the day with the first broadcast in Mariners history?
Well, it was certainly not intentional. I had no idea that it was going to be saved. It was opening night. I was coming down to the ball game. I set two cassette recorders to record the game because I wanted to hear it as well as be there. So I was there, and I got this certificate they gave out, first night certificate. I got home, and I listened back to the CD, not CDs, there were cassettes at that point, listened to the cassettes, and then put them away and never thought much more about it because I figured KVI, which is was the flagship at the time, had it taped. You fast forward about a dozen years, and I was walking through the parking lot going to a game, and I ran into Dave Niehaus. I was working in the media then, but I was doing print media. I wasn't doing any sports stuff. I was a big fan of Dave Niehaus. I had moved up from Southern California and had listened to him with Don Drysdale and the crew down at, I think it was 710 in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I recognized Dave Niehaus, introduced myself, and I said, just offhandedly, I said, you know, I've got that very first broadcast. His eyes got big. He stopped and he said, nobody has that. They either forgot to record it, they erased it, or they lost it. We do not have that. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, well, I'll be glad to give you a copy of it. Oh, man. I said, I'll meet you here tomorrow. So I went home and I found the cassettes and I made a couple of copies and I gave them to Dave. And he said, well, what can I do for you? And I said, well, you know, I've got a son that's a big Griffey fan, and it was Griffey's first year. And he said, wait right here. And he ran into the clubhouse and he got a picture and he had it signed, Happy Birthday, Junior. There it was. I had no idea a radio station would lose or not record the very first broadcast. That blew my mind.
No, it's remarkable. And all those years, everyone thought it was gone. Yeah, and here it is. Yeah, you come up with it. It's an amazing story.
Well, I'm glad I had it. Once I found it, I was able to transfer it to CD and gave it to Ken and to Rick, you know, several years later. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but they were pretty excited about it.
No doubt. Well, so what was it like opening day, very first game for the Seattle Mariners history of the Kingdom?
Oh, it was great. I had only moved up here about a year before, and a big baseball fan was very, very excited that I was going to be here. The place was packed, and the pageantry and all of that. And in the quote-unquote beautiful Kingdom, you know, you look at Safeco and you think, how could you possibly say beautiful Kingdom? But, you know, at that point, it was a brand new facility. It was a brand new team. The energy was here in Seattle, and it was a lot of fun.
What was it like listening to Dave Niehaus in those very first years, too, of the franchise?
Oh, boy, I tell you. Again, I go back to Enberg and Drysdale and Dave in Los Angeles, and coming up here, he was the perfect guy to start this thing off. And Ken Wilson was a good team, both of them. You know, listening to them and of course Dave had a number of partners since then, including Ken Levine. And it was interesting with Ken Levine because I worked in radio in Southern California. I was working in Bakersfield, and I was doing an evening rock and roll show, and on weekends, there was a guy who filled in for me by the name of Ken Stevens, Truck Ken Stevens. Mm-hmm. Well, I never thought any more about that until I got up here, and I was covering the Mariners, and Ken Levine's book came out, which was called It's Gone, No, Wait a Minute, and it was about his travels in the minor leagues. So I opened this book, and in the first page, he says, when I first started in radio, working weekends in Bakersfield at KERN, I realized he was my relief guy on the weekends. But it was Truck Ken Stevens. It was Truck Ken, you know.
Yeah.
So it was great. And so I went the next day. I went into the media lounge at the Kingdome and sat down and said, Truck Ken Stevens. And he looked at me and he said, the real Neil Scott, because I was called the real Neil Scott on the radio then. So, I mean, the history of broadcasters in this area has been great. And the common denominator and the guy who has done it all and the legend is, of course, Dave Neos.
Well, thanks so much for this. It is so fun to listen to, and it's great to hear the story. Thanks great. For the time.
Thank you, Gary.
Great stuff there from Neil. Certainly appreciate that. That is just tremendous. And I'm so happy that we have this to listen to. So here it is, the very first half inning in Seattle Mariners baseball history.
It is goosebump time as the Mariners have taken the field here on the AstroTurf at the Kingdome. And Diego Segui right there throws his first warm-up pitch as we take a look at the starting lineup for the Mariners. In this first game ever, leading off, the designated hitter, Dave Collins. Collins, the DH. Hitting second and playing second base, Jose Baez. Baez at second base. The third hitter is Steve Braun. Braun in left field. Batting fourth, the right fielder, Lee Stanton. Stanton in right field. The third baseman hits in the fifth slot for the Mariners, Bill Stein. Stein at third base. Dan Meyer is the starting first baseman. Meyer at first. Rupert Jones starts in center field and bats seventh. Jones in center field. The eighth hitter is catcher Bob Stinson. Stinson, the catcher. Playing shortstop tonight for Darryl Johnson's crew, young Craig Reynolds. Reynolds at short, the ninth hitter. 38-year-old Diego Segui, the Mariners' starting pitcher tonight, taking his warm-up tosses out on the mound. Diego Segui had a tremendous spring. Here he is back after a year in the minor leagues, a former big league player with the Seattle Pilots. It's he against Frank Tanana. The home plate umpire is Bill Haller. At first base, Bill Kunkel. Ron Luciano at second base. Ken Kaiser at third base. This is the moment we have waited for, and a gentleman who has broadcast Major League Baseball for 8 seasons in Los Angeles with the California Angels, watching his old team tonight as the voice of the new Seattle Mariners. It's my pleasure to introduce and to work with in this first season ever, a great gentleman, Dave Niehaus.
Thank you, Ken Wilson. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the initial voyage of the Seattle Mariners. Diego Segui, the first pitch in history as a strike, taken at the knees by Jerry Remy, leading it off. And the crowd roars, and the plate umpire, Bill Haller, will toss the first ball thrown by Diego Segui down to Bill Stein, who will go over and hand it to the owner's box here. And we must have close to capacity around 60,000 fans. What a thrill it is to be here on opening night. 0-1 the count on Jerry Remy. Rupert Jones plays him pulled over into left center field. Speaking of thrills, what do you think is going through Diego Segui's mind? The next pitch, a fastball rides high. One ball and one strike, and for a while every pitch will draw a cheer or an ooh or an ah or a boo. One ball and one strike on Remy. The outfield, Steve Braun in left. Jones into left center. Straight away in right is Leroy Stanton. One ball and one strike. The 38-year-old Cuban right-hander, Segui's next pitch just high and outside. Ball two, two balls and one strike. Diego Segui in his career has had excellent success against the California Angels. He has an earned run average of under 3, 2.51 to be exact. The 2-1 pitch to Remy, and a foul right back to our left and right back into my old broadcasting partner's booth, Don Drysdale, sitting off to our left. Come on, Big D, reach up and catch those, lad. He's been ducking line drives all his life. Two balls and two strikes.
Are you worried, David? The first foul ball in history in the Kingdome misses us in our high perch by 5 feet.
Two balls and two strikes on Remy. Segui checking sides with his battery mate Bobby Stinson. And Diego's 2-2 pitch to Remy. A fastball just low and outside. So the first batter to face Diego Segui goes full, three balls and two strikes. Jerry Remy had an outstanding spring, hit 300 with a couple of home runs, 13 RBIs. Last year, the most valuable player in the Angel organization. The 3-2 pitch to him, a high fastball, ball four. So the first man to come to the plate here in the Kingdome gets a base on balls from Diego Segui, and Segui calls Roger Logan, the Seattle Mariner equipment man, out having trouble with that brand new hat, and he wants another one.
Dave, if you can feel tension, and I guess the way life is, you can. The excitement and the tension here, it's like bring out the knife or the machetes and try to cut through it. Just a tremendous moment.
Well, it will wear down now as the ball game unfolds. Another three or four batters, and we'll hopefully see a normal ball game. But there is nothing really normal about opening night. Here is Bobby Grich. Bobby Grich, who signed to the tune of $1,550,000 as a free agent last year with Baltimore, hitting .266 with 13 home runs, 54 RBIs. Grich had a fine spring after missing the first 2.5 weeks because of muscle spasms. Hitting a .298 in the spring with a home run, he had 7 driven across. Remy held on over there by Danny Meyer, 1 foot on the carpet and 1 foot on the dirt, and he draws a throw to first base and scampers back to the bag. Just underway before a jam-packed house at the King Dome. Grich wearing the number 4 on the back of his traveling Angel Grays. There goes Remy. The pitch is strike, throw through to second base on a bounce, not nearly in time. So Jerry Remy picks up the Angels' first steal of the year, and he stole it easily as a breaking pitch thrown by Diego Segui that time gave Remy plenty of chance to get down there. Segui is an easy pitcher to steal on because Diego gives you that big, elaborate kick when he comes to the plate. And the throw was on a hop by Bobby Stinson down to second base. So the Angels have a runner at second base, scoring position, nobody out. The count on Bobby Grich, no balls, one strike. Grich, that right foot right on the back of that right-handed batter's box, a slightly closed stance. The outfield plays him just about straight away, although Rupert Jones a shade or two into left center. The stretch and the 0-1 pitch, a curve foul back up against the netting. So Segui moves ahead of Bobby Grich, no balls and two strikes. Gene Autry spending over $5 million for 3 free agents, $1,550,000 for Grich, $1,590,000 for Baylor, and $2,090,000 for Rudy. Remy away from second. Segui checks back there, and the pitch on the way to Grich is pulled foul outside of third. After 2 days of practice here at the King Dome, the ball players have found that the ball has traveled much better than they thought it would when they moved into this covered, magnificent edifice. The balls were flying out of here yesterday and the day before that. And the Angels found also that the ball will really fly. So you're going to see more home runs than you thought you might have when you come to the King Dome. The stretch in the 0-2 pitch, a fastball just inside. 1 ball and 2 strikes. Segui this spring, 1-0 with a 3.15 ERA. Diego returning to the scene of 8 years ago, Seattle, Washington, where he was the most valuable player. The 1-2 pitch. A curveball got him swinging. Strike 3. So a nice curveball from Diego Segui that time. Grich waved at it and couldn't find it, and Segui has the first King Dome strikeout, and of course everything that happens tonight will be a first.
A night of firsts, Mr. Niehaus. First broadcast, first game, and I guess the first goosebumps tonight.
Yes, indeed. Here is Bobby Bonds. Bonds healthy once again this year. He played in only 99 games with the Angels last year. In the final exhibition game of the year, slid into home plate in the Dodgers series and fractured the bone in the middle finger of his right hand and played with it fractured all year long. When Norm Sherry took over, he wanted to stay. The stretch and the check of Remy at second, the pitch to Bonds, a slider away. Ball one. 1 ball and no strikes. And he stayed to help Norm Sherry get his feet on the ground after Dick Williams was let go. And Bonds then, in August, decided to have the surgery and has had a fine spring, hitting at .340. Bonds with a couple of home runs this spring, 9 runs driven across. The 1-0 pitch to him, a wave and a miss, strike one. 1 ball and 1 strike. So Segui with a base on balls to Remy, the stolen base. Now the strikeout of Bobby Grich in the count on Bobby Bonds, 1 ball and 1 strike. Bonds a squared stance at the plate, wearing the numerals 2-5 on the back of those traveling Angel double nets. And the 1-1 pitch, there goes Remy to third, swung on and missed, throw through to third, safe at third is Remy. So Jerry Remy steals second, and Jerry Remy then steals third as Bonds swings through a Diego Sigue fastball, and the count, 1-2. And again, what a jump Remy had.
Jerry Remy getting off to a tremendous start. He has told everyone during spring training in the Angels camp that this year, after stealing in the mid-30s two seasons in a row, he would steal 45 or 50 bases, and I'll tell you, he hasn't taken long to nab two.
And Sigue in the situation now where he would just love to have that strikeout. With a count 1-2 to Bobby Bonds, of course, because the fly ball could score Remy from third base with the first run ever in the kingdom. And he has things his way on Bonds, 1-2. Sigue just staring down to Bobby Stinson. Veteran right-hander goes to the glove, stares over at Remy. The 1-2 pitch just inside and low and batted around by Bobby Stinson. He keeps it in front of him a little bit to the left so Remy cannot advance. 2-2, the count on Bonds. Don Baylor will be next. Bonds last year, even with the broken finger, had 10 home runs and 54 RBIs. Outfield deep for Bobby. Bobby Lee Bonds from Riverside, California. Sigue taking a lot of time. Veteran right-hander again looks over at Remy at third. The 2-2 pitcher. Curveball got him swinging. Strike three. So Diego Sigue one out away from wiggling off the hook, but here is a million-dollar man in his own right, Don Baylor. $1,590,000 tucked in that rear pocket of his for 6 years of employment by the California Angels, and Diego Sigue has struck out Messrs. Gritsch and Bonds and now has to dispose of Baylor. If he does so, you will hear a roar come up from the kingdom. The stretch and the pitch to Baylor, swing and a miss. Pops out of the glove of Bobby Stinson. 0-1, the count on Don Baylor. Baylor, before he steps back in, kind of studying the situation, reaches up and pushes that batting helmet back down on his head. Meanwhile, Sigue just staring down, nodding okay to Stinson. This will be the 1-1 delivery, and here it comes. A slider, a line drive into right center field. It's slicing away from Stanton. It'll take one hop against the wall. Leroy has it bounce away from him. To second base is Baylor. He'll hold there. Scoring on the play is Remy, and the Angels lead it 1-0. So Don Baylor, a line drive into right field, slicing away from Leroy Stanton on one hop against the board, goes for a double, and the honor forever of scoring the first run in the King Dome will go to second baseman Jerry Remy of the California Angels in the first base hit. That by the designated hitter, Don Baylor. Here is Joe Rudy. Rudy hitting at 281 on the spring. And you talk about clutch men as far as RBIs are concerned. Here is the man right here, Joe Rudy. Sigue goes to first base. They throw to first base. Do not get the appeal play. They thought that Baylor may have missed first on his way to second, but he did not. The umpires tonight, Bill Haller calling the balls and strikes. Bill Kunkel is at first base. Ron Luciano, colorful Ron, is at second. And Kenny Kaiser is around at third, one of the rookie umpires in the American League. There are four this year. Rudy, that closed stance. Sigue, again, taking a lot of time. Now to veteran ready as the second baseman Baez fakes going behind Baylor, and the slider is down low and away. 1-0, the Angels lead it in the top half of the first on opening night. The Mariners having an excellent spring in Arizona, won 9 ball games and came along day by day by day, just the way manager Darryl Johnson, one of them, as you heard him tell me on the pregame show, improvement every day. The 1-0 pitch on the way now to Joe Rudy, a swing and a miss, a good slider. 1-1. Sigue earned this post. He was the most effective pitcher in spring training. Ironically, Diego Sigue pitched for Darryl Johnson in the 1975 World Series, a perfect inning for the Boston Red Sox in that classic series against the Cincinnati Reds. One ball, one strike. Moving in behind the runner at second base, Baylor, is the shortstop Reynolds, but Baylor sees him, and then Segui just steps off the rubber to give Craig, the youngster, getting his first start on opening night at shortstop. There is only one man in the Mariner lineup making his debut. The pitch to Rudy, is swing and a miss. One and two. The one man in the Seattle Mariner lineup making his major league debut tonight would be the second baseman, Jose Baez. Baez playing in the minors until tonight. One ball, two strikes on Rudy. Baylor at second base. The Angels lead at 1-0. Diego reaches for the ball, and the 1-2 pitch to Joe Rudy instead is a step off the rubber by Diego Segui. Segui making his 600th appearance in a major league game as a pitcher tonight. His 165th start. The 1-2 pitch to Rudy, check swing just high. 2-2.
A long top of the first inning, Dave. Diego's been out there 13 minutes, and as the season goes on, the fans will realize that's a long half inning. And the tension, I think, Diego, maybe taking a little bit longer than he will normally.
The count, two balls, two strikes on Joe Rudy. Segui just staring down once again. With his hands on his hips in dead center field, Rupert Jones. Now he bends over. The 2-2 pitch to Rudy is a fastball. Got him swinging. Strike three. So Diego Segui strikes out the side here in the first inning, but not before the Angels score one run. One run on one hit. It was a base on balls, a stolen base by Remy at second. He stole third and scored on the double by Don Baylor. One run, one hit, no errors. And one left. And after half an inning, it's the Angels one and your Seattle Mariners coming up.
See you later! See you later! See you later! See you later!